Well, it's about time to talk some golf. Chris Williams joins us, as he has been all summer long. We are getting ready for semifinal Saturday, the 95th edition of the Bloomington City Golf Tournament at Cascades International, the Old Course, hosting this year's tournament edition. And Chris has been great to us for the last handful of years, keeping us up to date. We had Jim Gordillo join us on Monday to get us the big update from last week, and we will have you to preview the big, big weekend, well, on many fronts at Cascades Golf Course here in Bloomington, the 95th edition, as we mentioned. You have a Hall of Fame inductee that you are going to enshrine on the weekend as well, and we've got plenty of great golf. First of all, how are you today?
I'm good, buddy. How about you?
I always appreciate you joining us and giving us the inside scoop. And for those of you who don't know Chris Williams, well, that's we're trying to fix that. You can find him online on the old Twitterverse, at IU Artifacts. You have a little bit of fun there. How many times have you won the city tournament, just so people have a point of reference who are new and just joining us?
Lucky to have won 3 times.
3 times? Gee whiz. Did you enshrine yourself in the Hall of Fame then? How did that work?
No, I think they just put up with me enough. So, in all seriousness, I'm happy to be a part of it. We have a great group of people that I work with, and we all have one common mission, and that's to keep the tournament going strong, to promote the history, promote the participation. And, I been doing kind of more and more with it over the last couple of years. So it's been a lot of fun, and, it's a great group of people to be with. So, yeah.
Well, good. We're going to create some more history tomorrow. We hope Mother Nature is going to leave us alone. I quit projecting the weather years ago. There's just no point to it. When we were here last Friday, we thought there was a chance of Saturday being completely rained out. There didn't look to be any kind of break in the weather if you looked at the hourly forecast last week. And we had a pretty active morning last Saturday morning, but once it quit, everybody was able to get out and finish up, and then Sunday was nice. And we're going to do the same thing, it looks like, tomorrow with thunderstorms likely in the morning, scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, gusty winds, small hail. Chance of rain, though, this time around is 90%. How do we handle, before we get to all the great matches and divisions and everything else, what is the plan that you guys tell the golfers who are still left on how we're going to run things this weekend if Mother Nature decides to enter the conversation?
Well, in terms of the actual tournament, the committee is more or less in the background. So that's going to be a decision that Jason Sims, Jackson Cowden, Brad Scroggins, the fine gentlemen who have done such a great job with the golf course, they're going to be really the ones that kind of foresee what happens. The good thing about Cascades is it drains really well. The other good thing is that given the fact that we are kind of, we're in the last weekend of the tournament, we have fewer players. We only have 2 hours of tee times that are separated by 10 minutes. So the number of golfers is significantly lower than we had last weekend. So if we do have a sizable delay, it could be something that we can still, or I say we, could be something that the golf course can still handle and can adjust. And but hopefully if we do have some inclement weather, it's not gonna make it a situation where it's a washout and we have to then figure out something that, in my time being with around the city tournament, having a complete day of no golf is something I'm not familiar with. So that would be something interesting. But like I said, we keep our fingers crossed, think good thoughts tomorrow, and let the brief amount of nasty weather we're supposed to get be brief. So, yeah.
And that's one thing that we can't project. I don't want to play devil's advocate here, but I know it's a 36-hole final coming up on Sunday. We're not playing 54 on Sunday if it happens to be. I see gusty wind and small hail, and I get nervous thinking of tree damage and things like that. So maybe it's just the parent in me thinking of all these worst case scenarios. But you've said it's never been delayed before, Chris Williams. So that is good enough for me. So tomorrow, semifinal Saturday. You mentioned the 2 hours of tee times, that window. Gulp, we'll hope to get going at some point during the proceedings. Who is in the leadoff spot on the batting order tomorrow?
Yeah, so we have our Phil Talbot Championship, which has kind of always been the, I would say, the highlighted championship that we have in the city tournament. You know, we started originally in 1929 with a women's, men's, and junior division. And the men's division has obviously given us so many historic years and so many great names that are synonymous with the tournament. But we have our Final Four. And from, you know, Jim Gordillo and I were texting back and forth about this last week. This may be the very first time in the history of the city tournament that we have four college golfers in the Final Four. I kept thinking back and thinking back, and it was just not coming to me. It could be something where way back in, you know, the 30s, 40s, and 50s, I know we had some city golfers that played at IU and elsewhere. But in the modern years, this is the first time that I can recall we have four guys playing collegiate golf. So we have the defending champion, Jason Bannister from the University of Southern Indiana, going up against Logan Vernon from St. Mary's of the Woods. And then that's the 1-4 matchup. And then in the 2-6 matchup, we have Jace Day, also of USI, going up against former Bloomington South product Drew Todd, who is currently playing golf at Ball State. So quite a quartet that we have to lead things off at 7:30 in the morning.
Did any of those results surprise you? It's very chalky. It's 1-2-4-6, so there was only one upset. Mitch Ord, Jim Gordillo told me, putter went ice cold, and Drew Todd took advantage of that. But Drew playing at Ball State, that's not an upset.
No, I don't think it's an upset. I think when you have somebody like a Mitch Ord, who is a three-time champion, last year's Hall of Fame inductee, a player who, you know, played at Edgewood, knows Cascades like the back of their hands, and is a proven tournament player and is a grinder and knows how to compete. I think when you get to especially the day two of the city tournament, and even in really in any situation in match play, anybody can beat anybody. And, you know, Drew is obviously someone that has played in the city tournament in the past, also especially in the junior division. But it doesn't matter, and I would agree wholeheartedly that was just a really solid matchup of two players, very different in terms of where they are in their golfing careers. But I think it's, it's just one of those things where, like I said, if you have like Jim said, if the putts aren't going in, which is very much, I would say, one of Mitch's strengths, it can really turn the tables in a match.
And those tables between two really solid players, as you mentioned. Again, the reason they're seated, folks, that's where they finished in qualifying. The two rounds, that's where the seating came about. There's no tournament committee that puts them in the West region playing in Spokane. No, you go out and play. You add them up for 2 days, and then you see who the top 16 are in the championship flight. We are down to four. They will play 18 holes tomorrow. The winners will come back on Sunday, but then it changes. We're going to stretch it out and play 36 holes to determine the men's championship champion.
Yeah, it used to be an 18-18, so you would play on the last weekend, 18 on Saturday and 18 on Sunday. I personally like that they have changed it to 36 in one day. As someone who's the last time I played and was lucky enough to win, we played 36 in one day, and it was a grind. And I think it's a true test when you get to this time of year, and it's going to be hot and muggy. You know, who's going to come out on top? And I think that it's going to be, and anything can happen. You know, that's the thing about match play. If you have somebody who's four up after the first 18 holes, the other guy could really start grinding and really start pressing on how he approaches. It could get a little bit more aggressive with approach shots, aggressive with tee shots. And again, if you hit the ball long out of Cascades, there are several drivable holes that you can really put yourself in a position to be an ideal situation, because, you know, once you get to that second 18, the birdies need to start falling if you're going to have any chance.
Well, and conversely, the 36-hole final, I think, is fair in the sense as well. A guy comes out and birdies the first five holes, and you make five pars, you're five down, and you're not playing poorly. It gives you a chance right. It gives you a chance to get into gear and get after it, knowing that that the end is not nigh.
Right, right. And I agree to that. And I think, you know, when you look at that from any perspective, you got to tell yourself, you know, you're still in it. You're not playing bad golf. But it's interesting, you know, you could go out and have 18 pars and win five and four, or you could go out eight and you know, have 18 pars and lose 7 and 6. I think I've been on both sides of that. And so it really is just, it's one of those things where a hot putter, it's not unfathomable, to go out and birdie 5 of the first 7 holes or 6 of the first 8 holes or 10 of the first 15 holes. You know, if the putter's working and you got these guys, especially when you look at these four collegiate guys that have had all these reps all year and been playing the tournaments, have been hitting the balls in the range, they're dialed in, and it's really just going to come down to who's going to make the putts.
And the exciting part of this is most golf tournaments that we pay attention to are 72 holes, right? So you'll play 18 on Saturday, 36 perhaps if it maxes out on Sunday. So there's 54. So it is, I think, in my opinion, a very fair measuring stick of who the best is. You have to play 54 holes essentially the last 3 rounds against the two best players remaining. That's a great way to determine a champion. The question I get the most from people is, why don't we have a stroke play tournament in addition to a match play? Or on top of that, why is the Bloomington City Golf Tournament match play at the end instead of stroke play?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's been batted up, you know, to the Hall of Fame committee and the golf course for many years when we've talked about participation and play. And I think for those people who have good questions about it, I think the thing is that with match play, it's just such a unique part of golf that you don't see as much anymore, you know. And for us, I think it's something that we don't look of it as a nuisance. It's something that we highlight and we cherish. And I think everybody who has never played match play and then gets into match play really kind of gets a sense of just how unique it is and how fun it is, because you're competing against one person, you're competing against their play and their ability. And a lot of times, you know, you put yourself in situations where you have that one bad hole, but you're not out of the loop. You know, if you hit 2 out of bounds on the first tee and you make a 10 in stroke play and your playing partners are all in at pars or birdies, yeah, you're pretty much out of it. But in this case, it's one of those things that the people that play in it year after year after year do it because they love the competition and they embrace that. And the thing with us is that we look at it as a historical significance. When the tournament started in 1929, you know, match play was much more common. The PGA Championship for many years, you know, especially at that time, was played as match play tournament. So it's something that I think was much more of a commonality. And for us, we love that unique factor about it, and it's something that, to the very end, we're going to want to keep just because it stands out as unique.
Chris Williams is our guest. The city of Bloomington, Bloomington City Golf Tournament, the 95th edition. Chris sits on the board, the Hall of Fame committee, and all the fun things that go along with that. So essentially, you have a monopoly on match play. Who else is playing match play around here? Is anybody else? I saw, I think I was reading somewhere that the Bedford City Championship, I saw that was stroke play. So you're kind of on the island here in a good way.
Yeah, it is. And I know the Indiana Golf Association, to my knowledge, still has their match play tournament. I can't remember if it's the boys junior match play or if it's still a true amateur tournament. But yeah, I think for a lot of people, they'll say, well, shouldn't that be the writing on the wall to you guys that you're not getting the hint that, you know, the tournament's too long and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But we have enough people that tell us year after year after year, I love this tournament because it's match play. That's why I play. Is it's not something that it's not the same thing, you know, and we're not trying to, you know, the city tournament is not trying to step on the toes of anybody else. And that's your point, because it's so unique, it stands out as something that has had longevity. And we've had our ups and downs over the years with play and with the number of participants. But the fact is, if you can sustain something for 95 consecutive years, especially a tournament that predates the Masters tournament, you're doing something right. And I think that's what we keep on striving for.
Yeah, not even the Indiana Amateur that was just at the foul course a few weeks ago. That's a stroke play event as well, correct?
Correct, it is. And in our tournament, you know, they had a couple years where it was not played during, I think it was either World War One or World War Two. So in terms of consecutive years, we've outlasted, you know, the perennial amateur championship in the state of Indiana for golf.
That's absolutely fantastic. 95 consecutive years. Is there any talk about having a fall or spring stroke play, or is that just something you don't even have to mess with because of 95 straight years?
You mean in just in terms of a tournament itself?
Yeah, like in addition to, I know you do the scramble in the spring. Maybe in the fall you play a stroke play, or does everybody play Cascades enough to stroke play? It's really redundant.
Well, I think for us, the one thing that we have is that we have people in our community that put on such great tournaments. One of those is Rick Shear, who's a fellow Hall of Fame member, and he puts on the medalist tournament, which happens in June, which is an annual. It's been going on for almost 30 years now. And for us, we look at that as kind of like the start to the kickoff to the season. There's a few of us that kind of joke around, and we have the four majors in Bloomington.
Oh, let me get a pen out and write these down. Okay, the medalists.
So we have the medalists that kind of is the first major, the Bloomington City Golf Tournament, that's the second major. We have the BCO two-man scramble, which is held annually at Cascades, also run by Rick Shear. And then we have the Landmark Four Ball, which is kind of like a Ryder Cup-style tournament, which is held in September. And that's kind of like the season, you know, glory's last shot in a lot of ways. I know that was the motto for the PGA for a long time. But, you know, that's kind of – but I think for a lot of people, you know, we kind of kid about it being the four majors. Those are for people who play golf in Bloomington, especially – If you're someone that's played in the city tournament or you've played in a Rick Shear run tournament, you really get psyched up for these. You know, I try to play in every one of those every year, and we really look at it as just, you know, we kind of kid like, oh, we're in the third major. It's like the British Open, the Open, but it really is fun. It's an interesting way to look at it, and so, you know, the fact that we have such a great stroke play tournament already in June, you know, we're not really looking to add something that's going to, you know, take away play from something else, because we want to keep things the way they are in terms of the uniqueness of what we have with the city tournament.
BCO, for those of you listening out there, go ahead and translate for the audience. I think I know what it means. And does it stand for beer can open? Is that correct?
You would be correct.
and we're allowed to say beer can on the airwaves.
It's one of the most enjoyable days on the golf course that you can have.
What says it right there in the title?
That's true. Now, it's funny. I will not, ironically, not have a beer while playing in the Beer Can Open. I don't try to partake because it's serious. You know, it's a third major. You gotta hone in and try to come off on top. So,
Chris Williams is our guest. He is our golf insider here locally in Bloomington. And we've talked about the men's championship flight that will kick things off tomorrow morning. Fingers crossed that Mother Nature can give us a little bit of a window to get started or just blow through and get out of the way. The forecast, we'll keep an eye. We're going to pretend like everything's going according to Hoyle. After the two matches in the morning for the championship flight tee off, who is next on the runway?
So 7:40, we have the Paul Gray Senior Championship. And again, the names associated with these flights have long, long history with the city tournament or Cascades Golf Course. We have the Hall of Famer, four-time champ, Gary Udaly, who was the one seed because our defending champion, Matt Till, was not able to play this year. He's going to take on the four seed, Matt Seifers, who's been a veteran of the city tournament, is someone that I would say can definitely compete out there at Cascades. Some not to overlook at the four seed. 2-6 matchup, we have my good friend and my partner in the BCO, Jim Alexander, the 2021 champion, against Mark Chestnutwood, who had to go to extra holes in his match last weekend. And then when we get to the Super Senior Championship, a lot of familiar names. Our defending champion, Rory Brown, is the one seed, taking on another one of my good golf buddies, Bob Hasty, Hall of Famer, three-time champion, as the five seed. And then we have a 6-7 matchup of Dan Neubecker and Don Chastain. So a lot of familiar names, a lot of good competition. The men's senior and super senior flights will follow. And then we end up with our 9:30 time with the junior championship. This is the Eddie Lawson Junior Championship, where we're very pleased to have a junior boys junior tournament this year. We have not had that for a couple years, so we got four youngsters that are going to battle it out at 9:30 tomorrow.
Is Ryan Decker one of those youngsters?
Ryan Decker is the one seed, and I, as someone who has played lots of golf with him, and obviously his dad is a good friend of both of ours, I would say that's a name that we're going to be probably talking about down the road in many city tournaments. If I had to be, I'm not a betting man, but if I had to bet, that would be my consensus.
Well, I think the only problem that you'd have with that bet moving forward would be if his schedule allows such tournament play.
True.
Well, he's an up-and-comer, and you're right, we should keep an eye on him. And he's left-handed. Yep. That's the other great part of this story because, well, the great ones are left-handed. We know all that. Tell me about Don Chastain and Dan Neubecker. That's really our only, quote, I don't want to say outsiders because that's not the word I'm looking for, but that's our only bracket that really kind of got sideways. And, again, these are guys that play against each other all the time. How does that matchup work out? And then we'll talk a little Bob Hasty, Rory Brown as well.
Yeah, I would say it's a pretty even matchup. You know, Dan Neubecker as a six, I'm surprised that he did not qualify higher as someone who his game is good, especially from inside 50 yards. I mean, around the green and chipping, he's pretty darn solid. I would say that one's going to be, you know, I think both of those matchups in the senior or the super senior championship could come out either way. It really just comes down to the flat stick. Are the putts going to go in? I know the greens are going to be dynamite. They've been awesome all year. Again, a true testament to how much time and effort Brad Scroggins and his crew have done on the course. We kind of talked about this last time, but for those of us who played in the medalist tournament, we could not get over how great the greens were, how well they were rolling. So that just really is going to be coming down to how well the flat stick is going to be working. And, you know, I think with Rory Brown and Hasty, two veteran players, they played against each other. You know, Rory's coming off of, you know, his victory last season or last year in the city tournament. You can't, you know, put Hasty away because from tee to green, he's as solid as they come. It's a long way. And for my money, he's still one of the best wedge players I've ever played with. So that's going to, both of those are going to, you know, everything's going to be great. The thing is that I tell people, it's fun to come out and watch. It's fun to come out and spectate. It's fun to walk with the groups and kind of stake out a position on the course and kind of, you know, see the groups come in and then walk further ahead and watch them come through again. It's fun competition at a local level.
And how much is it to come out and watch if Mother Nature gives us a break tomorrow?
Just come on out and enjoy the day. It's not going to cost you anything. I don't know about spectator carts. I know that they limited them last year because I know their fleet is low at the moment, and they obviously are still going to have regular play that will go on starting on the Pine to Ridge. So, but yeah, I mean, walking with a group is fun, and it's just fun to watch. So I would encourage people if they've never done it or if they were, you know, on the fence about it, it's something to come out and enjoy. I'll be out there spectating as well as many of my fellow Hall of Famers.
Chris Williams is our guest this afternoon. We're getting you ready for the 95th annual conclusion of the City Golf Tournament here in Bloomington. 95 consecutive years of match play to determine the champions. We'll start the final four of the major flights tomorrow morning, and we'll come back on Sunday with Saturday's victors to play 36 holes to determine our champions. You talked about course setup there and how the greens have been running great all year long. They don't change the setup just because we're in the semifinals and finals, right? They want it to be just as quote-unquote normal as possible?
I would say that...
No greenskeepers, overall, revenge, no tucked pins, 6-6-6 kind of?
I would say you're going to have some good pins. I don't think they're going to make it unfair, but I think that if you get to, in my opinion, if you've gotten to the second weekend of the tournament, you should expect that the pins are not going to be right in the middle of the green on every hole. And so I wouldn't expect them to be unfair, but I would expect there's going to be some good pins, whether it's, you know, way in the back on quarry number 7, where it can be a sucker pin if you go too far, and being over the green is just about as bad as a place you can be. But I would expect some good pins, but I would expect them to still be fair. But like I said, you know, if you're not hitting it where you want to be, you can't be blaming the greenskeeper for that. That's going to be on you for your inability to dial it in at the right time.
It's a championship setup for a championship weekend. That's the way to look at it for sure. Chris Williams joins us, and I would be remiss to let you go. I have to ask the question. You might not have the answer. Are you ready to announce who your Hall of Fame member is this weekend, or is that something we just have to show up on Sunday like everyone else and wait for you to rip open the envelope?
Glass, my friend, you are going to get the sneak peek. You've been very patient. We have, it's going to be in the paper this weekend. We are very pleased that we are going to be bringing in Dick Meacham into the Hall of Fame this year. For those of those out there who don't know Dick, he has been a regular in the city tournament since the late 80s. I don't think he's missed a city tournament since like 1987 or 88. I've had the pleasure of playing golf with Dick, of watching him play. He is a consummate gentleman on the golf course. He plays the ball by the rules. He's very respectful to his opponents and fellow golfers in victory and defeat. One of my favorite photos from city tournaments, of yesteryear, is a photo of him and Bob Hasty shaking hands on the green after a match. And the great thing is that when you look at the photo, you can't tell who the victor is and who lost. And so he is a champion for the senior championship in 2014, was also a runner-up for the senior championship division in 2013, and has twice been a runner-up in the men's division. In 1996, he was runner-up to Andy Bowers, who went on to be a great collegiate golfer at Vanderbilt. And in 2000, he met the major run of Troy Gillespie in one of the most amazing tournament runs we saw in terms of play and score against Troy Gillespie in 2000. So all in all, has a great resume, someone we're very pleased to bring in, and we're looking forward to our induction ceremony. We just have a small induction ceremony introducing our new Hall of Fame inductee on Sunday after the golf is over.
Exciting times, and again, a very fitting member to add to your Hall of Fame. That is absolutely fantastic. Congratulations to Dick. So if you see him out and about, which you will this weekend if you're going to be at Cascades, and another great chapter added to the city of Bloomington. I always call it the city of Bloomington. What's the proper? I never get this right. The Bloomington City Golf Hall of Fame, is that the best way to say this?
Bloomington City Golf Hall of Fame Committee is what we do, and then it's the Bloomington City Golf Tournament.
That's like when Eric Spoonmore comes on and I have to literally read the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. I just can't do it. Let me get a plug-in form from you, please, because I know there's another big golf event coming up. It's not one of the four majors here locally, but it is a fantastic opportunity to help others who need a little bit of help. Jordan Halls and his family and their foundation put on a tournament every summer. They are looking to raise money for whom, and how can we get involved, pal?
Yeah, so I've been able to play in that scramble and kind of help the Halls family in a very minor role because they're just a fantastic group of people. They have their Never Lose Hoop Foundation, which raises money for families that have been affected by cancer in one way or another, using that money to assist them in various ways, especially when it comes to being able to do something that kind of gives the family an escape from what they're dealing with. So it could be helping to raise money to for a trip or some kind of special situation. It just all in all. The organization has done this for so many years, and the Halls family is so dedicated to this. But they're going to have a golf scramble next Thursday, the 20th of July. It's going to be at Eagle Point. For those of you who don't know, it's right down on the right on Lake Monroe. It's an easy drive from Bloomington. They're having, I believe, it's a noon shotgun down there. They are still taking teams. You can go to their foundation, Never Lose Hoop. You can just search it on Google. I've also linked the registration form and the registration website on our Bloomington City Golf Tournament page on Facebook. So, a great group of people involved in a great cause. So if you have some time and you have some interest in playing in a scramble, there's going to be IU people out there. It's just a fun day.
Couple basketball legends perhaps out there hanging around.
Possibly could be making an appearance. So it's a great day. Like I said, a great cause. JC and Joni Halls put a lot of time and effort into this, and it's really kind of the heart and soul of what they do. So I cannot vouch for it and advocate it enough.
Chris Williams, great job, my friend. Let's enjoy another great weekend. Once we get to Sunday, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. That's the forecast. Upper 80s, abundant sunshine, and abundant great golf to be played. We'll get caught up next week. We'll review it at some point to see all how all the champions came about and all the flight winners and all the fun that goes along with that. And follow at Jim Gordillo if you are out, if you're at the course, or if you're just curious as well. He does a great job of bringing us updates throughout the day. He'll be walking along with Chris Williams on Saturday and Sunday. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. Congratulations on your new inductee. And these updates have been outstanding. I'm not surprised. We'll do it again coming up next week.
Always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend.
That's Chris Williams. He sits on the Bloomington City Golf Hall of Fame Committee. And the Bloomington City Golf Tournament, again, wraps up this weekend. And we're excited for the new champions to be crowned. Well, maybe some old champions as well. The Reds return to the radio tonight. Let me correct that. The first place Cincinnati Reds, they're back. They have a record of 50-41. 91 of the 162 games are in the books. What does that mean? There's 71 more games to go. They will open the post-All-Star break at the Great American Ballpark tonight. They will do so on a 10-game homestand. What an opportunity. It starts with the second-place Brewers. You say, well, didn't they just play it? Yes, they did. They played three right before the All-Star break. They're going to play nine in the month of July. The middle three will be starting tonight. Graham Ashcraft will throw the first pitch at 7:10. Tommy Thrall's pregame will kick things off at 6:40. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll have the Reds for you tonight and on Sunday. Weather permitting in all those situations, but we should be okay come Sunday for sure. And tonight looks pretty good. Enjoy your weekend. We'll come back next week, get you ready to go on a Monday, and wrap up all the fun things we had to do all weekend long. Have a fantastic weekend. CBS Sports is next.